A major provider of airline meals is teeming with cockroaches. Balloon Boy's father is going to jail. And Delta will stay hubbed at Hartsfield for at least another 7 years. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 24th, 2009. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has dispatched a team to assist the government of Jamaica in its investigation of an accident involving an American Airlines 737-800 on Tuesday evening. NTSB Chair Deborah Hersman has designated Senior Air Safety Investigator John Lovell, the U.S. accredited representative. The American team will also include five NTSB aviation specialists and technical advisors from the FAA, American Airlines, Boeing, and GE aircraft engines. The aircraft is reported to have broken into three large pieces after bouncing on landing in heavy rain and overrunning the runway at Kingston. It's identified as American Flight 331, originating at Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. There are also reports of 40 injuries, but no fatalities. We'll have more details as we get them on the website at aero-news.net. Airline food may have just lost its little remaining appeal. U.S. Food and Drug Administration inspectors at LSG Sky Chefs, a Denver-based division of LSG Lufthansa Service Holding AG, reported finding live and dead cockroaches too numerous to count in the kitchen and around food preparation areas during a recent visit. The findings were made public this week. The inspectors say they also found evidence of Listeria monocytogenes, a bacterium noted for causing listeriosis. That's a serious illness which may include muscle pain, nausea, and convulsions. Sky Chef's spokeswoman Beth Van Dyne says those samples came from around a drain, and nobody eating the company's food has reported contracting the illness. Sky Chefs delivers about 35,000 meals a day to its client airlines. The company was downgraded from approved to provisional status, but has been allowed to remain in operation. Van Dyne says none of the company's customers has canceled any orders. She also says the company has made personnel changes, and she tells the Food Poison Journal that the company has made restoring its approved status a top priority. A reinspection could happen as soon as the first week in January. Balloon Boy's father is going to jail. ABC News reports 48-year-old Richard Haney has been sentenced to 30 days in jail, another 60 days on work release where he'll return to jail each night, and 4 years probation. Haney triggered a frantic chase by rescuers October 15th when he said a runaway helium balloon might be carrying his youngest son. His son later turned up hiding in a box in the attic over the family's garage, and Haney later admitted that the whole thing had been a hoax to promote a reality TV show. Haney asked the court for leniency for his wife, Mayumi. She's been sentenced to 20 days community service. As a condition of their probation, the couple is prohibited from financial gain in connection with the so-called Balloon Boy hoax. A new agreement between Delta Airlines and the City of Atlanta, which was reached in tentative form a few weeks ago and approved by the City Council November 16th, was signed on Monday. The agreement covers terms for Delta's hub at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport for at least the next 7 years. And the Atlanta Business Chronicle says Delta has agreed to back a bond issue to help fund a new $1.3 billion terminal. Atlanta Mayor Shirley Franklin, who will leave office December 31st, commented, quote, "The lease extension confirms the airport will be a major player in the economic recovery of the city and the state. As Delta makes business decisions across the globe, the continuing airline-airport partnership will ensure Atlanta's position as its primary hub," unquote. Before the deal was finalized, the city had to show the FAA the airport would remain competitive under terms of the agreement. Up next on ANN, Boeing has acquired the remaining shares of Global Aeronautica in North Charleston. Continental Airlines and its Teamster mechanics get a federal mediator. And Horizon has a new 2-year deal with its flight attendants. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3000. 3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 24th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing is moving to consolidate and exercise more control over the Dreamliner manufacturing process. The company announced Tuesday it's acquired Alenia North America's half of Global Aeronautica LLC, the South Carolina fuselage subassembly facility. The acquisition makes Boeing the sole owner of that entity and will allow full integration of Dreamliner assembly in North Charleston, South Carolina. Alenia North America is a subsidiary of Italy's Alenia Aeronautica, a Finmeccanica company. Jim Albaugh, CEO of Boeing Commercial Airplanes, commented, quote, "Ultimately, we believe integration of the site will increase productivity for the 787 program and allow us to maintain our long-term competitiveness," unquote. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers responded to the acquisition by reading into it a sort of backdoor acknowledgement by Boeing of the union's long-held position on using outside partners. On the IAM District 751 website is a statement which begins, quote, "Today's announcement of the deal with Alenia proves that Boeing's plan to outsource 787 manufacturing around the globe didn't work, and it would be really easy for all of us to sit back, point fingers, and say, 'I told you so,'" unquote. Easy and apparently irresistible. A little further down it says, quote, "The Dreamliner is a reality today only because of the efforts of our skilled craftsmen and women here in Puget Sound, who've solved the problems created by Boeing's outsourcing plan," unquote. The IAM notes that Boeing is, quote, "pouring billions into this South Carolina adventure," unquote. South Carolina is a right-to-work state, unlike Washington, where unions have much more power. Boeing has publicly stated it's developing the new second production line with an independent supply chain to make sure the IAM cannot halt deliveries of planes to customers by striking in Puget Sound. The IAM has struck Boeing in four of the last five contract cycles dating back to 1995. Mechanics for Continental Airlines engaged in informational picketing at the airline's major hubs in Newark, Cleveland, Orlando, Houston, L.A., San Francisco, and Seattle on Tuesday. The mechanics are represented by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. They passed out literature to the flying public explaining the importance of maintenance work and their complaints with Continental. The Teamsters and the airline have been bargaining for more than a year for a new contract covering more than 3,600 mechanics. The union says mechanics are upset because they've been without a raise for 7 years. A federal mediator will oversee negotiations starting in January. If mediated negotiations don't result in an agreement, the National Mediation Board could officially declare an impasse, starting a 30-day cooling-off period, which could then be followed by a strike. Horizon Air and the Association of Flight Attendants CWA have announced ratification of a new 2-year contract for the airline's 584 flight attendants. The vote ended early Monday, and 78% of participants voted in favor. The approved contract takes effect January 17th and is amendable in December of 2011. It includes raises of at least 3% over the life of the contract. Flight attendants also can participate now in the same performance-based incentive plan as the airline's dispatch and management workers. Both sides say the contract provides a good foundation for moving forward. Andy Schneider, Horizon's Senior VP of People and Customer Services, noted, quote, "I'm particularly glad that, with participation in the performance-based incentive plan, our flight attendants will now have the opportunity to see their efforts to help the company toward its goals reflected in their total compensation," unquote. Still ahead, Sonix does full power run-ups on its subsonic jet prototype. The Business Travel Coalition praises the DOT's new tarmac stranding rule. And a Florida county has spent $1 million building a King Air mosquito sprayer. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Christmas Eve, Thursday, December 24th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. During EAA AirVenture, Sonics Aircraft held an open house and debuted a completely frivolous, but nonetheless very exciting, single-seat jet-powered kit plane prototype, which with tongue-in-cheek it dubbed the Subsonics. There was no commitment to bring the plane to market, and Heward, the British manufacturer of the RC model-based engine seen on the prototype, had folded before finishing development of an electronic engine control unit. The hopes of some who wanted to see the kit happen have been revived. A new TJ-100 engine from PBS in the Czech Republic is larger and more powerful than the Heward jet and is already in serial production. John Monnet of Sonics says that will speed development. The company received and mounted up one of the new engines last week and worked up to full power test runs on the ground at Oshkosh. The plane hasn't flown yet, but Monnet notes, quote, "We melted a lot of snow," unquote. There's more to see and read at sonicsaircraft.com. The Business Travel Coalition is joining in praise of Secretary Ray LaHood and the U.S. Department of Transportation for a new requirement that airlines deplane passengers after 3 hours of an extended tarmac delay if it's safe and operationally feasible. But the group also says the three-hour rule simply will not work at the three New York City area airports and other overscheduled major hubs unless incumbent airlines rationalize and de-peak their schedules and operations. Coalition Chairman Kevin Mitchell notes, quote, "Passengers will likely experience problems during the period when airlines are re-engineering their businesses, as 120 days is not sufficient time for airlines to prepare for this kind of fundamental and complex change management process," unquote. Not everyone's convinced there'll even be any re-engineering. The DOT rule allows the airlines to continue to blame safety, security, and airport operations issues when holding passengers on the tarmac longer than 3 hours, which is what they've been blaming all along. If we needed another example of how government bureaucrats empowered to spend other people's money don't always make wise choices, Hillsborough County, Florida decided 6 years ago it needed a mosquito sprayer, apparently wanting something less drab and utilitarian than an ag plane. Instead, they spent $700,000 on a King Air. Overlooked in their shopping was the fact that nobody makes a spray system for the King Air. The Tampa Tribune reports that as a result, the plane has been mostly parked for 6 years, except for very expensive flights to keep the pilots current. The paper also reports that while the plane was to have done double duty as a passenger craft, it has been used for that only 5 times over the 6 years. Finally, a custom spray system commissioned by the county and designed at Embry-Riddle has achieved FAA certification, and it's ready for use now. That cost another $370,000. County officials insist they can make that money back, selling the proprietary system to all the other people who buy King Airs for use as spray planes. You know, I could never make up stuff half this entertaining. Finally today, best wishes for a joyous holiday season from everybody at Aero News Network. Our long-form audio AeroCasts, this Aero Briefing and the Aero News Special Feature, will be on a brief hiatus starting tomorrow, Christmas Day, and resume their normal schedule Monday, January 4th. We're still going to have the short-form touch-and-go AeroCast next week, Monday through Thursday, in its new format, which provides a brief synopsis of all the major stories that are normally covered in greater depth in this Aero Briefing. And if events warrant, we may bring you a full Aero Briefing to expand coverage of major stories. Our 24/7 coverage will continue in text form at aero-news.net. And to the many of you who find yourselves with more time at home than you'd hoped for due to the unpaid shutdown of so many aircraft manufacturing operations over the holidays, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your families. Jose Feliciano recorded a very popular seasonal song years ago with lyrics that said in part, "Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad," or "Merry Christmas and a Prosperous and Happy New Year." Many Christmas greeting cards also used to follow "Merry Christmas" with "and a Happy and Prosperous New Year." But in recent years, some political interests have tried to paint commercial success in anything as something you can achieve only by abandoning Christian principles. You don't see many Christmas cards anymore that wish you prosperity in the new year. Many of our parents recognize that commercial success can just as easily be one of the blessings that come from honest and caring treatment of your fellow man. I'm personally thankful for the many businesses we see in general aviation, which have thrived on value and good service and created lots of employment for others as a byproduct along the way. And so, in light of our current economic circumstances, it seems especially appropriate to turn back the political clock a few years and wish you a joyous holiday season and a happy and prosperous 2010. There's no reason they need to be mutually exclusive. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we continue our look back at the first decade of ANN with Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell and talk about some of the big stories of 2004, including the introduction of the Garmin G1000 and Spaceship One winning the Ansari X Prize. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.